Good morning. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the idea of repression and repressing things, and how what we end up doing is we do ourselves a great disservice when we repress, especially the negative thoughts and feelings that we have within ourselves. And I wanted to recall some of what we talked about there before we move on to what we're actually discussing today. So first we talked about what the definition of repression is, which is to hold in by self-control or to prevent normal expression, activity, or development in something, or to exclude from your consciousness. And we talked about Paul. He was sort of our prime example of not repressing the negative things that have happened in our life, but accepting them and trying to move forward with them. Because what we do when we repress and we put it in the back of our mind, we haven't actually dealt with it. We've just moved it from one location in our mind to the other. It's not actually been resolved. And so Paul had a lot of things that he could have repressed. We talked about some of these, what he did before he was a Christian, or the people that he murdered. I mean, he was involved in murdering people. One such instance we have written for us in the Bible, which is the martyring of Stephen. And so we talked about how Paul, in these passages, is actually very open about who he was in his past, and how he has tried to use that as a tool to move forward. Then we talked about why do we repress. There's lots of reasons why we repress things. But I want to go back, though, to our idea here of this definition, because the definition here, there's a particular point that's going to be very important for what we talk about later this morning. And it's this: excluded, anything that's excluded from consciousness and left to operate in the unconscious. I want us to focus on that. After I gave this sermon, somebody came up to me and said, "Yes, but Paul said in Philippians 3 that I forget what lies behind." And I thought that was a good part two to our lesson on repressing things. Because again, when we look at forgetting what lies behind and pressing on, that's not the same as just repressing the negative things in our life, repressing our sinful behaviors and attitudes, the person that we're leaving behind in order to be a Christian, in order to be someone who is a child of God. Those things are different. So I want us to look here, this idea of forgetting. Again, it comes from Philippians 3, verse 13, but we really need the whole context. What really is Paul talking about? So if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 again, we're going to look further back in the chapter so we give ourselves a good idea of what he means when he talks about forgetting what lies behind. What is he actually referring to? So Philippians chapter 3, we're going to go back up to verse 2, because I would start in verse 5, but we're still kind of in the middle of things here. So let's start in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. "Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence, even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. So when you look here, this is what he's getting to in order to get to verse 13, forgetting what lies behind. So this word forgetting here is the Greek word epilanthanomai, okay? Epilanthanomai, and really, yes, forgetting is how we translate it, and it's a good translation, but when you look at the structure of the word, where we get the term forgetting is more akin to the idea of no longer caring. Now again, if we do this wrong, if we do this incorrectly, this idea of putting out of mind, we might end up repressing. And that's not what we ought to be doing. When we put it out of our mind, we put it out of our mind by resolving it. Again, as I said before, when we repress things and we put them in the back of our mind, we haven't actually resolved anything. And that's the problem, as we pointed out with the definition earlier. We've moved it from the conscious to the unconscious or the subconscious. But that's the problem with our subconscious. Our brain still knows it's there. And our brain still knows that it hasn't been resolved. But when we look at this idea of no longer caring, that has a bit of a different context, doesn't it? All things, whether good or ill, we should no longer care about if they were in a context of being without God. As good of a person I might have thought I was, I need to put that out of my mind if it was at a time before God. The sins that I have committed, I should no longer care for those things because they were done at a time without God. But I want us to consider this, right? If I'm looking at this idea of no longer caring, right? Truly no longer caring, if you no longer care, you should be able to think or talk about something without ill effects. And this is the point that we were trying to get to with the sermon on repression. If I have actually resolved something, then I should be able to make note of it. I should be able to make reference to it, very similarly to what Paul does when he's writing to Christians. It is a part of his history, but it's no longer a part of who he is. He has forgotten who that part of him is. It's still there in his mind, and that's not what our idea of forgetting actually means, is it? And I think we understand this concept from a standpoint of God, right? When we think about God forgetting or remembering things, it's not the same way that we use those terms, is it? That when God remembers something, he's realizing the effect of it. Not a realization as in, oh, but he's bringing something about, right? When he remembers a group of people, then he's bringing about something he's promised them. When he forgets something, again, he's no longer bringing it upon us. We're no longer being counted as guilty of that thing. He has forgotten it. Does that mean that God's knowledge of it has suddenly disappeared? No. I don't think so. Because God doesn't let us do that. Right? How many times do we actually get to lose things from our memory? It's actually quite rare in the grand scheme. Because there are times where suddenly you'll remember things that have happened to you a long time ago, right? This idea of remembering and forgetting, let's not get confused by the way that we use these terms today. When I forget what lies behind, it's no longer a defining characteristic of who I am. It's no longer something that I need to sit and stew on. It's no longer something that I need to be worried about because I have resolved it. It's been resolved. God has resolved it for me. And so I have forgotten what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Notice that for Paul, what he's telling us is that this is a two-part process. Right? Because he did bring up earlier, didn't he? When he was talking about the things that he should be able to boast in, if his boasting is in the flesh, verse 6, he mentions a persecutor of the church. He hasn't forgotten it. It's not that it's no longer in his mind. But does he consider himself a persecutor of the church still? Does he consider it as God holding that over him? No. It's been resolved. It's been resolved because God resolved it for him. God forgave him of that part of his life. This idea of reaching forward. Notice that there's two phrases here. Reaching forward is the first one we're going to talk about. And then pressing on. I press on in the next verse, in verse 14. The word reaching forward here. So if you remember, the word that we just had was epilanthanomai. Now we have epectinomai. So they're very similar sounding words. Isn't that interesting? They have similar bases. This idea here, the basis of this word is to stretch out toward. Or if you notice, I put, it's also reflexive, stretching myself out toward. But notice that even though they have similar bases, they seem to be completely different words, right? No longer caring for versus stretching out to. And again, these words are linked. I don't think that Paul or the Holy Spirit used these words coincidentally. But notice how opposite they are. I'm not stretching out towards those things which lie behind. I'm stretching myself away from those things. And I'm stretching myself toward what? Toward what lies ahead. And then in verse 14 he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That press on is the word dioko. And dioko is an interesting word because it has both antagonistic and protagonistic uses. So it could be that I am pursuing in order to harm or persecute. But obviously that's not what we're talking about here. We're using it in a more of a protagonistic use, which is to run after, pursue, seek after eagerly, or earnestly endeavor to acquire. So what is he doing? He's earnestly endeavoring to acquire the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And it really brings into view when he talks about all running the race so that you may receive the prize. It's a very similar attitude here that he's referring to when he says, I press on. I continue this race. So notice that, yes, he knows about who he was in his past. He's aware of it. He's willing to talk about it, right? Because, one, he's not repressing it. It's been resolved. He is not stretching out toward it, which would be to wallow in our past, wallow in our self-misery. He's not stretching out to that. He is looking for the upward call of God. If I no longer care what lies behind, then what should I care for? And here he tells us it's this upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And before we continue into the third part of our lesson here, I want us to look at verse 15. I think verse 15 is an interesting end to this section as he continues here. We'll start in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. What attitude is he talking about? Well, forgetting what lies behind and pressing on to what lies ahead, pressing on to the upward call. We should have that attitude if we are perfect, if we are children of God. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. I love that, the way that Paul puts that. If in anything you are lacking this attitude of forgetting what lies behind and pressing on to what lies ahead, if you're not in that mindset, God can help you get into that mindset. Right? If in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. What happens when I don't forget what lies behind, reach forward to what lies ahead, and press on toward the goal? What happens when I don't do that? For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. It's your destruction. If you don't forget what lies behind, reach forward to what lies ahead, and press on toward the goal, then it is to your own destruction. And if you really think about it, doesn't that sound exactly like the world that's going on around us? That the things that we should find shame in are actually our glory? I love the phrase, whose God is their appetite. If I want to consume it, I will. Because no one should be able to tell me no. No one should tell me that I should curb my spiritual diet. And guess what happens when you don't curb your spiritual diet? But the most important, I think, is the first phrase of verse 19, whose end is destruction. And this is a very stark contrast, isn't it? Their end is destruction, but our citizenship is in heaven, which means the opposite. Our end is not destruction. Our end is life. Our end is creation. Our end is to live eternally, not to be destroyed. However, that only describes those who have forgotten what lies behind, are reaching forward to what lies ahead, and press on toward the goal. But let's look a little bit more at this upward call. And here is where we're going to depart from Philippians chapter 3. But we're going to look at three verses that talk about what this upward call really is. What am I pressing toward? What am I earnestly endeavoring to acquire? Well, the first in our look at the upward call is actually in the next chapter from where we are right now, which is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. These are the things that I'm supposed to be pressing toward. These are the things that I'm supposed to be focused on. Truth, honor, righteousness, purity, loveliness, good reputation, excellence, and anything praiseworthy. How about Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2? Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, which we were just looking at, weren't we? Because if I focus on things that are on earth, then my end will be destruction. My God will be my appetite, and my glory will be in shame. And lastly, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When I think of these verses, I begin to think of how we have gotten so far away from these things. How is it that we as a group of people, even if our beginnings were loosely based on the Bible, on Christian understanding and doctrine, how have we come so far from where we began? And I think it's because we have convinced ourselves that in thinking of treasures in heaven or the things that are above or all of what we read in Philippians 4 verse 8, we have confused ourselves and we have put together this formula that if I want to do it, then Jesus wants it for me. And we've sort of gotten ourselves into this position of assuming that God wants us to engage in things that the Bible actually tells us are false. That we have decided that we are going to define ourselves by ideas that are not supported in the Bible, that are focused on earthly things. They're focused on having treasures here. So now I start defining myself by what I want, by what I think I am, by whose bed I want to sleep in. That's then how I begin to define myself. And then I delude myself into thinking that Christ wants that for me. And I think that's where we've gotten so far off. I know that we have a lot of people in this country that say that they want nothing to do with God. And yet, at least in word, they push for all the things that God wants us to have in our life. We can't give up on the ideas that God has given us in the Bible. Righteousness, justice, morality. What we've done is we've twisted those things. Now it's subjective morality. Now it is my truth. And now it is social justice. Instead of remembering what exactly is it that Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to forget what lies behind. He wants us to stop defining ourselves by what's here on earth. The things that we can't take with us. And he wants us to reach forward to that which is no longer a part of this universe. To the realm in which God lives eternally. Outside of our continuum of time and space. He wants us to reach toward that. And he wants us to press on to spiritual perfection. And that spiritual perfection can only come by being a child of God. And if I'm a child of God, then I'm no longer repressing things. I'm resolving them with the help of God. And then I am forgetting them. I am no longer caring for them. I'm putting them behind me. And then I'm looking ahead. How hard is it to run a race when you've craned your neck to look behind you? How likely are you to stay in your lane? How likely are you to keep from running into the other athletes that are racing with you? How likely are you to see the turn and make it before you cross the finish line? If I'm constantly stuck in what lies behind, then my end is destruction. God is offering you a chance this morning to no longer look at what lies behind. And that applies to everyone in this room. That's the beautiful thing about God's word. It always seems to apply to everyone in the room. Whether you're a Christian or not, it applies to you. Because either you haven't properly begun the race, you haven't gotten off on the right foot, maybe you put two left shoes on and you're trying to run your race. And if that's you, you need to fix that this morning. You need to get into a place where you can look forward. Because right now you're stuck on what lies behind. You're stuck on who you are in the moment instead of who you could be with the help of God. However, if you are in a good standing with God, this can still apply to you. Because sometimes we do get caught up in what lies behind. We were just talking in the high school class this morning about how there are those who believe that we can never sin once we've become a Christian. And we were looking at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that invitation is extended to you if you are already one of his children this morning. Whatever your need might be, we can provide it for you this morning. But you have to come up here and take advantage of it. Will you do so as we stand and as we sing?